Hallelujah. We are going home.
Yes, sir.
We're going home. We don't know when. The Father knows. But I do know this. Before we leave earth, we're going to hear that trumpet. As soon as we hear that trumpet, we're gone. Alrighty. We got two Christmas cards. This one right here, it says, wishing you a Merry Christmas, God's blessing in the new year. Brother Lomax and Linda Skinner. And the other one is wishing you a quiet place to know the glory and the wonder of Christmas. Well, you know, we need to remember that. We need to really at times just think about the most important holidays that we have is Christmas, which represents the birth of Jesus. And then the second one is the freedom in knowing of Jesus and doing his work, because he's given us the freedom to go around and be able to do his work the way he wants it done, not the way that we want it done, not the way that I want it done or anything, but the way he wants it done. And then we have, which that was Christmas, and that was the 4th of July, which is Independence Day. Gives us the freedom to worship. Who give us the freedom to worship? The Lord Jesus Christ has. But he done it through men and women that went into harm's way to defend our honor and our right and defend the freedom that we have as people, that we can either worship God or we don't have to worship him. We can either love God or we can even hate God. But thankful for the Lord that he chose me. He chose me, and I still this day don't understand why he would do that. Because I'm not worthy for him to even grace my presence. I'm not even worthy of anything. I'm not worthy to be your pastor. I'm not worthy of Faith Baptist Church. I'm just not worthy because I once was a sinner. But now I'm saved by the marvelous grace of the Savior. And the last is the resurrection. So that's three that we have. Christmas. And before the resurrection, we have the freedom . And you know, he lost his life because of freedom. But just think about this. The men and women that's across this world that's fighting for freedom for mankind, They laid their life down. They laid their life down to defend the freedom that we do have. The freedom that we have, Jesus Christ gives it to us. But the men and women defend that freedom. People today, they just don't sit no more. They just don't understand life itself anymore. They really don't. But you know, I'm so thankful that there are men and women that's defending my rights to worship Him, to trust in Him, to preach His word as it is to men and women as they are. They the one who allowed that for me and you today. Too many people are falling in line with what the devil wants. And you know, and if we don't watch it, we can get caught up that way. We can get caught up in his trap too. How can we get caught up? We can get caught up by saying, church don't, it's not, we don't have like 7-8 people sometimes. We might have visitors straggle in. We need to start doing something else to entice people to come in to the church services. We need to do something else to entice people. That they would want to come. But you know what I believe that you have to do? And we can see it. We can see it at Dan River Church. You can see it at all of these large churches in the city of Danville, Pennsylvania County. And around the world, what are they offering people? They're offering people prosperity. It's nowhere in what God's word has said. He promised me that I was going to be wealthy. The only thing he promised me was, he says, I'll give you a place where you can get in at the weather, to where I can have a house to live in. See, he had no house. He had no home. The only home that he had was the people where he went into their homes. And we know what the Word of God speaks about the homes that he went into. He went into the home because there was sinners. They wasn't saved. But the individual, they invited him to home with them that evening for supper or something, or to stay overnight. They wasn't saved. But they became a Christian because of the love that he showed unto him. Or her, and they showed that he showed upon the family that he had never met before. He knew them, and he'd already met them before. But see, they didn't know that. But yet, he did not leave that household with one family member that was lost. The whole household got saved. Do you hear that anymore? to hear that anymore. We, you know, at one time you used to hear, well, a husband would be in such conviction he'd get saved, and then it wouldn't be long, wouldn't be but a week or two or something like that, his wife would get saved, then his children would get saved. Why? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he done for the individual that he went to visit. And he told them all about him and all about his love and all about the Father's love. He spoke to them personally. He didn't have to. Because what did they say about Peter? When Peter would be walking with Jesus, and he'd be walking with Jesus, and they'd be headed toward the next town or something like that, then Jesus would tell Sir Peter, I need you to go this way. I need you to go over here. Then they would depart companies. They wouldn't be walking together anymore, but then they would end up within the place that the Lord Jesus wanted him to go. And the people would say, Peter, see, they knew Peter. They knew how he was. You would think all the disciples was perfect. You would think all the disciples that the Lord Jesus had chosen didn't have no anger, didn't have no hatred, did not have no foul language. But each one of them had their own sin that they had to deal with. But Jesus still chose them like he chose Peter. And as Peter separated, when he went into the next town, the people asked him, says, Peter, says, that man, it looked like you was following that I seen you with this morning. He looked like the Messiah. The people was calling the Messiah. He's looking a whole lot like the man that they called Jesus. And you was walking with him? What'd Peter say? It wasn't me. You must have looked wrong. It wasn't me. See, Peter was like us. He did not want to go in within the people and speak to them and acknowledge to them that he is a Christian, that he was saved, that he was walking with Jesus. Well, I guess sometimes. Sometimes we'll go into places, and sometimes we'll go into businesses, or we'll go around maybe some friends that we used to have that one time that we would see just about every week. But now we don't see them that often. Why? Because we don't want to get tangled up within the world. We don't want to get tangled up with the sinners right here. That's what Jesus got tangled up in. That's what Jesus went after, was the sinners. That's what we're supposed to go after, is the sinners. We're not supposed to go out here for the Christians, the ones that are saved, because they know better. But that individual that's lost, they're hurting. And Peter, no doubt, he hurt too. When people would try to correct him and say, who was this man that you was talking to earlier today? It was the Messiah. He looks awful familiar. This man called Jesus. That's who you was walking with. I want to have nothing to do with you. See, they say they don't want to have nothing to do with us, the sinners right here. You know who don't want to have anything to do with us? It's not the sinners. It's not the ones that's lost. It's the one that's saved. And is the backslidden. And got out of the will of the Lord. They don't want to hear anything from us because we should know that the answer that they're going to give us is, I'll try to make it next week. I asked somebody here a while back. I asked them, I says, still going to church? He says, no. I just got so tired of the people in the church. Said, come with such, so holy that it's made my stomach turn over. They was thinking about this and that. And they was in the church and if a preacher come up and say, well, has anybody got anything to say today? Anybody want to give a report, a praise report or something like that? Says, yes, says they'll stand up. They'll raise their hand and they'll give a praise report. They'll say they're thanking God for being with them all week. Thanking God for what they've done. What he's done for them. Thanking God for the health and all that. That'd be on Sunday morning. Yes, it'd be a large church. But they say, you know what gets me today? I know I'm not leaving the subject.
About the large church.
You know the reason people like to go to large churches today? It's not about the gospel. It's not about what the preacher's preaching. They want to go to the large church where they can go in and they can get lost. I look at it this way. The whole statement that they would just make is not correct. The first part of the statement is correct, that they are lost. That they are lost. And they want to go and start moving between the crowds and everything. They don't want to have to stand with people that are saved. They don't want to stand with the right type of people. I know people today that says they're saved, but you never hear them one time. You never hear anything come out of their mouth and say that I thank God for saving my soul. I thank God for all his blessings. You never hear anything about them, about praising the Lord. That's where we have went wrong. That's where the churches has went wrong. We quit praising God. Because he is worthy to be praised. We are not worthy of anything, but he is worthy to be praised every morning and every day. We need to praise him in church, and we need to praise him out of church. But where our work starts, our work does not start in the church. Our work starts when we go through them doors into the world. That's where our work starts. Our work, the reason we'll start when we go through them doors is because of what praise and what worship that we have had in the church services that day. We need to come and worship the Lord. We need to come and lift his name up. We need to let people know. And we need to, hey, I've got so tired of some people saying, preacher, you don't have to go around any mall. You don't have to go around loading everything, always praising God and always talking about him. And then sometimes I've heard you even will holler out. I said, well, I need to praise him like that. If I'm not going to praise him in the world, then I'm a hypocrite. And you know what a hypocrite is. Someone is dependent, think that they're something, but they're not. I should live outside them doors the way I live in here. I come in to worship him in spirit and in truth and lifting his name up. Try to keep the family of God together. But when I leave, when I walk through the doors and go back out into the world, then that's where I go to serve him. I don't come to church to serve him. I'm not here this morning to serve the Lord. The reason I'm here this morning is because I'm saved. The reason that you're here this morning is because you're saved. We need to realize that, and we need to tell people if they want to get back, if they want to get their life back to what it used to be that one time, even when they was young, when they was 4 or 5 or 6 years old, when nothing else bothered them around, all they have to do is just come back to Jesus. He's right where they left him at. Where is that? You know where? They know where they left the Lord at. When the world, Satan, and his cohorts and everything separated them from the Lord's work. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 and 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Unto what? What is our confession made of? Is it made up of the world that we are around every day? Is it the confession that we've made with the sinners of this world, the lost individuals? No. Mm-mm. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. He put a whole lot of emphasis on salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, there is times that will come to our way that where we will be ashamed of him. You know, when I get to the point of where I'm ashamed, a shame hits me. When I'm not reading his word, called because of the free time that I have. I'm ashamed sometimes because I don't do exactly as he wants me to do. But we should never be ashamed of our salvation. We should never be ashamed of what he done at Calvary. Because he took a beating for us. He took a beating for us where they drew blood from his back when they scourged him that day. But not only that, it's when they took him upon the mountain, Golgotha's hill. And then, I think it was John, I believe it was, I may be wrong on that. But as he was going up that hill, the weight of that cross, the weight of the world was upon him that day. Strong as he was. Why? Because his sin that the world had placed on him that day took him down to the point that he was just about crawling up the hill. And I believe it was John, I may be wrong. When one of them there came up to him and helped him, and they picked up the cross with him. They ended up bearing the load of the world too that day. But Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus thanked him. And he said, go, when he's hanging on the cross, go and sin no more. He says, I want you to take care of says, I'm going to be gone for a little while. But I'm coming back. I'm coming back very soon. They want to know where he was going. He says, it's a place that you don't know, you don't need to know. I don't need to tell you. Only thing you need to know is I'm going to a place. But I'm coming back for you. And he went back. Then from that point on, he went up to heaven. And I will be closing with this. He went to heaven. And his father was right there sitting in his throne room. In the throne, chair, whatever you want to call it at that time. And Jesus was walking in. But before he sat down, his father says, son, it's not finished yet. He said, I know what you said when you was hanging on the cross. And when you gave up the Holy Spirit, you said, it is finished. He said, but son, if some people that was following you, that was walking with you, they have doubt now. They have doubt. Because they are in the upper room. And they are discussing everything that's been done and everything that's been said. And they don't know what to believe anymore because they did not think a Savior would leave us to defend for ourselves. You know, that's a whole lot of churches. Like that today. So a whole lot of churches I hear that's looking for pastors. And they're not looking for God to help them. They're not looking to God for God to send his man in. They're looking for the man that they want in that they can tell what to do and what they can't do. And I went to a church over there between Chatham and Gretna in the country over there about 7, maybe 8 years ago. Me and my wife both went over there. And they asked me a bunch of questions and I answered them all, and then they got down to the last question that they want to answer. Want to answer to. They says, what would it take for you to come over here and to be our pastor? I said, I don't have no idea. I don't know. He said, what? I said, I don't know. Here it is right here. 7 people in there. Pulpit committee, they said. And they asking me how much money will I need? I couldn't tell them. I don't know. I had no idea. And God didn't say anything about any of that to me when he first called me. He didn't say, well, Donnie, I want you to go out here and I want you to preach. I want you to learn how to preach now, and I want you to go out here and start
looking at churches now, and I want you to go out here and see if you can find a church that maybe you can pastor. But now, when you do, when you get down to them and talk to them and talk to the pulpit committee and everything, talk to the people, you just got to let them know some things that you want. That you want life insurance. That you need hospital insurance. That you need this and you need that. And then you need at least $40,000 or maybe $50,000 a year to the way you pastor the church. I ain't found. I haven't seen that in God's Word. Is there something that I missed? Is there any way in that it says that that's what I'm supposed to ask for? I ain't found it yet. Even some of the man-written commentaries I hear, they don't even say it. I can't find it. And I sure am glad. And when I got saved, I got in a Bible-believing church. When I got saved. That's what kept me in church. That's what kept me in church. The man of God preaching to people as they are. There's no difference between me and that sinner right here, that lost sinner. The only difference is that I'm a saved sinner and they are lost sinner. Our Father, we want to thank you today. Father, for what words did you give me, Lord? Father, because if it wasn't for you this morning, I would have nothing to say. But I thank you for giving me each word and each illustration, Father, that you give me, Father, that may help someone here. And Father, if not, Father, it was meant for me. Maybe I'm the only one that needed it. But Father, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I trusted you by faith and nothing else. But trusting you by faith, Father, you saved my soul. And it was because of that faith that I put all of my trust in. And then you saving me, Father. That's when that you had put the burden on my heart to work for you. Father, I know sometimes I fail you. But you have never failed me. And I thank you today for your love. I thank you, Father, for leading me to Faith Baptist Church. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that these people, they have learned really within their own heart what faith is and what faith is all about.
Father, I have never in my life been in a church, had went and preached in a church or pastored or other churches or whatever, to where the people, all the people, had one thing and one thing on the mind and on the heart, was seeing souls saved. And yes, Father, it's souls being saved and being added to the kingdom of God. And we know, Lord, if souls are being saved and if they're being added to the kingdom of God, like you say, Father, then I know that you're going to add to the church. But Father, we do thank you. I thank you for each one of these people. I thank you for Sister Betty. I thank you for Sister Donna. I thank you for Sister Nancy. And I thank you for my wife, Lord. And I thank you for Sister Irma that's not here this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for Brother Bill. They've never asked me what to preach. They have never asked me what I must do. And I hope and pray that they understand my heart, knowing that I will do nothing to jeopardize my faith that I have in you and my faith that I have in these people. Now, my faith that I have in Faith Baptist Church. So, Father, that this week we ask, Lord, that we may speak to people's hearts. Let them know, Father, that we love them as someone else loves them greater than we do. Father, we don't have to invite them to church here. We would love for them to come. We really would. We just want them to get into a Bible-believing church where preaches the Word of God. So, Father, yes, we thank you for this day. And, Lord, we pray, Father, you'll bring us back to the next appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.